Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second half of We the People Radio. Today is February 21st, 2021, and my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. If you're looking for John Deere products, tractors, attachments, you name it, they've got it. Go see them. They're at 3119 Twin View Boulevard up in Shasta Lake City. They also handle the Honda Power Products and the Steel Power Products line. So if you're looking to get your yard in shape, get up there and see them. They've got everything you need to get the job done. Or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, our topic today is illegal marijuana growing. And, I mean, I know we're making some people mad, and that's okay. I fully admit we don't feel burdened to do both sides of this because, frankly, the other side gets all the airtime.
Yeah.
All the airtime. You know, we mostly cover topics that get zero airtime. Like with this particular thing, we started with it, but I really do want to bring it in because it's very easy to say, oh, well, this county, most of these people are white and these people are Asian. So they're just all racists and haters and blah, 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 because that's super popular right now. Even before that was popular, this has been several years ago, there are 1,000 people that had come there to grow marijuana and were not living in the county. They were squatting, basically. They had no permanent addresses or any of that. They all registered to vote. And the county clerk, they have 27,000 voters in that county. So not a lot of voters. A lot of ground, but not a lot of people. The county clerk went to the Secretary of State and said, hey, I have a problem. I have all these, I think they're illegal aliens that are trying to vote. They've all registered, and we need some help. So up comes the Secretary of State. This would be Alex Padilla, who is now our fantastic federal senator, took over for Kamala Harris. Just in case people weren't following that. So, he shows up with his minions from the Secretary of State's office. They request that the sheriff, at that time was John Lopey, they request that the sheriff escort them to where these people were all, you know, gathered. How's that? Because it wasn't safe. A lot of gunplay from the very beginning, from the outset of this, been lots of guns, lots of threats, all that. So the sheriff... the sheriff and his deputies go out with the Secretary of State's office folks to go find out what's happening. The way that was reported and the way that all came out was that the sheriff was there for voter intimidation. They went out to intimidate these people who just wanted to cast a ballot.
Wow.
So no good deed goes unpunished in this whole situation. So, of course, that's all designed to silence everyone and accept that your beautiful place where you live is no longer beautiful and that you have, I mean, look at some of the roads. Just go on and look at the pictures on the website. Look at some of these roads. 4,000 cars in a 2-day spread on some of these roads. Are you kidding me? I've driven this area a lot. If I pass, I don't know, I'll be generous, 20 cars between Highway 96 and Interstate 5, which is an east-west trip through kind of nowhere. I mean, most people would feel like, good grief, I can't believe people live out here. It's a beautiful area, I think, but, you know, it's not for everyone. However, you don't pass that many people. And to have 4,000 cars going back and forth, this is just exploded at a level that I think most people cannot comprehend. So,
I think a lot of people have heard that there's a lot of illegal growing up there, but I don't think they realize the scale. I mean, these pictures that are on the site right now will give you an idea of just this one community. That's not the whole county. That's just this one.
Yeah, this is happening in other places in the same county.
Yeah,
this is one.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, when you look at these pictures, it would take thousands of people to maintain this many grow houses.
It's going to take thousands of people to take it apart, too, and imagine the mess. But you have people who fancy themselves as environmentalists who are outraged that we're telling lies about this subject. Really? Go look. Go look at the pictures and see if that's a lie. This ground doesn't have wells on every single piece of property. It's very easy to prove that the water's being hauled. Go look at the pictures. You have water trucks from hell to breakfast hauling water 24/7 to these grows. So, anybody wants to put this up as racism or lying or whatever.
Well, there's some great pictures on here that are before and after, excuse me, from...
Yeah, 2018 to 2020.
Exactly.
Look at those side-by-sides.
Yeah, look at the difference. Look at the influx.
Yeah, it'll light your hair on fire. Maybe it just lights my hair on fire. Okay, so now that I went on that little rant, we have like 4 minutes till the first break. Sorry.
Did you get all that hate out of you there? Yeah, don't bring that home with you.
I don't know if I got all the hate out. There's still some more hiding in there. But I'm like, are you kidding me? How dare you come on, contact us and say that, we're lying. Right. So, ladies, you're doing an excellent job, and I know you're not lying because you live there, for heaven's sakes. Who would like to kick off the next... I've even lost track of what our next topic is. What is our next topic? Oh, my favorite. Intimidation and harassment. Are we going there? Or are we still doing...
Well, did we cover all the crimes and gangs and all that? I know we touched
maybe not
on a little bit.
I don't know. Ladies? Fire away, whoever's next. They all hung up.
This is she again.
There you go. I was like, oh no, you guys all hung up. She went on a tirade. We're getting out of here.
this is just part of what mine was on the law violations.
Yeah.
It has a lot to do with the building codes out here. They are building shacks all over on these parcels that have no water. There's no wells. There's no septic. The waste is being dumped either on the ground or in the pits. There are people, which I think are the slaves of the pot growers, that are living in the greenhouse structures. And they're also living in these little outbuildings, the storage outbuildings that you can buy from these outlets. They're living in those as homes. They're also living in junky travel trailers, and the sewage is just being dumped out on the ground.
You had dumpsters up there. The county put dumpsters up there, right?
Yes, I saw those. What I saw in them, one of the things is they used to have trash delivery out there, and the people that have the trash hauling company stopped going out there because the individuals that were squatting on the property were throwing their feces into the garbage bags, and so they stopped picking up the trash. So I'm not sure who put those dumpsters up there, who did that, but what I saw was just a bunch of greenhouse plastic in them, tons and tons of greenhouse plastic.
Well, there's
some
pretty good
pictures on the station. Yeah, that waste too. But and then you have when they do go to the dump, they put their stuff in the black plastic bags and they don't tie their loads down, and now we have trash all over our highway. I mean, lots of trash.
I bet. Right.
Yeah, and you have to remember that when this all goes away, someone's going to have to go in and clean this mess up, and it is a toxic waste site. Whenever you have a dump like this, you don't know what you're getting into. There's empty chemical containers and bags full of who knows what, and they're just piled up on the ground out there.
Yeah, we picked up the chemical containers off the highway, and they're not water jugs. They have very poisonous chemicals in them. You literally have to go out there and pick the trash up with gloves.
Make
sure you wear gloves, and then throw the gloves away sometimes because you don't know what you're picking up.
Yeah, and if you tried to do that, this is the thing. You have all these people fancy themselves as environmentalists, and here we live in a state that's completely apoplectic about cattle being near a creek or a river. Oh, my gosh. You know, what if they pee? I'm going to use the word we loosely, obviously. We worry about stuff like that. But this happens, and all the agencies fade into the background because nobody wants to deal with it. It's too dangerous.
Well, and then the, yep, the pictures of the land that's just being stripped, I mean, literally to the dirt that was an environment for animals and, you know, deer and different animals. Nothing's going to live out there now. They've literally stripped
it
down.
Well, I'm sure
down.
They've eaten them, so that solved its own problem. Drive them off and eat them at the same time, because I know people lost their pets. Their pets are being snatched up, too. You can't put people out there and expect them to just live in a tent and... I don't know. It's crazy to me. Okay, so we have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us, and you can continue on, and we'll stop ranting. Terribly sorry. You can find the photos that we're referencing at wethepeopleradio.us.
I was sitting in a coffee shop just minding my own affairs when all of a sudden this policeman caught me unaware. He said, "Is your name Pedro?" I said, "Yeah, I guess so." I said, "Then come with me, because you're the man we've been looking for." I said, "Hey, man, I've been framed. Hey, no, really, man, I was framed. I never do nothing wrong, man. But every time I get the blame, I've been framed."
You see, tough times don't last. Tough people do. When they hit hard, look, and they stay strong, and they keep on fighting like they don't know how to lose. Tough times don't last. Tough people do.
Yeah, that's for all of you. I'm glad you're sticking with it. Because you know what? A fainter population would have fled the scene by now. So where would you like to go next?
Harassment and intimidation.
Nice, she said mockingly. Yeah, that's what we all need, a little more harassment and intimidation, because that's always such a good community builder.
Not. And unfortunately, our area is, you know, I think we could all agree it's God's country, and the shadow of Mount Shasta, it's beautiful. One of the things that I just absolutely adore about this place is the surrounding topography and the beauty of the high desert. And it has certainly become a place that other inhabitants don't show care for. It makes it tough for us that like to get out and recreate, biking, hiking, jogging, walking, etc.
Yeah, because a lot of that is closed. I posted one of the signs that someone sent me that said the trail was closed.
Unfortunately, the area is bordered by a lot of BLM land, and there is a lot of historic areas here, old cattle drive roads. The settlers used to use, there's a spot called the Wairika Trail that the settlers first used when they moved into our area. And I've always been fascinated by that. And one day I set out to follow a map, these historic maps, and I was trying to find a spring that exists back in that area. And I felt, well, okay, it should be pretty safe. If I'm in my car, I'll just drive back in there and follow the map and find the springs. Well, it turned out to be a pretty scary event for me.
Oops, you got really quiet all of a sudden. Come back.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you go. Yep.
Okay. Sorry, I must have moved my head. And I attempted to drive back through one of the subdivisions because that's the way the map took me. And I thought I was safe. I was in my car. And as soon as I turned into the subdivision, I realized this probably wasn't a great idea, as I passed the groves, one after another, I saw these heads popping up from behind these green shade cloths, black shade cloth, tree barriers. They basically have gone in and cut down all the junipers, and they line their groves with that to keep people out. And they would be on their cell phones. And I said, oh, geez. And this was a one-way-in, one-way-out type of thing. So there was no way to get out except to finish the route. And it was clear to me they were communicating with each other on their cell phones. And I got halfway through the subdivision, and a car swooped up alongside me and just stopped and stared at me. And I realized that I probably shouldn't be in this area. It was way out of sorts and not comfortable, and I immediately left.
Wow.
I did not make it to my historical sites. I found a way in. It was a long hike in coming from the BLM land, but I did make it to see those sites in a safer manner. But that to me was like very intimidating.
Well, you've had people killed out there too.
Very scary. We've had murders. Yep. A couple different murders. I don't think they've been solved yet either.
Yeah, that's a big shock. And someone had said that, I forget who was talking about that, but said that one of their doctors was out in the area and came across a guy that had his throat cut ear to ear and had to save him.
Absolutely, and I'm sure there's more stories like that we haven't even heard about.
But who would think that? I mean, you look at I don't know, I guess maybe call me crazy, but that happens in, like, the inner city. That happens
Absolutely.
In, you know, but the element you have is you have the gang and cartel influence, and that brings that type of behavior, that type of crime. That type
yeah,
of
they're very they're very protective of their areas. They use dogs to protect their groves, and they do horrible, cruel things to those dogs. Those dogs get turned loose, and then they pack and they eat livestock from our residential owners that have property around them. Their livestock are being killed.
What happens with that? Anything? You know,
they haven't been able to prove, I guess, and the dogs just run. They still run rogue today, so you can't go out there and walk or hike or bike because there's been people that have actually been attacked by the dogs that have been left to fend for themselves. Basically, they're starving and they're just trying to survive. But when the grow season's over, they're done with them. They just let them go.
And do I know that people have said that this used to be kind of a seasonal problem? But it's becoming more of a year-round problem, I think.
Yeah, I'd say they haven't left in the last 2 years. We see the greenhouses glowing at night out in the distance up on the hills. So I would say that they are actually growing year-round, and it's been that way for the last 2 years.
Wow, so you don't even get a break. Does anybody have any idea? I mean, I know that there are people up toward the Doris area and Hornbrook and all that. Are these all the same? Is this all the same stuff? Do you ever talk to people from those areas?
It has spread out into that area, and it is the same group that's growing here as well as there. They've just spread out over the last 5 years, encompassing a larger portion of Siskiyou County.
Hmm. Well, and you're obviously you're not a really populated county, so your resources are limited, sheriff's office wise, and all that. And I'm sure that people in law enforcement even are concerned. I mean, I don't think even if you were a sheriff's deputy, nobody goes out there alone, do they?
They don't. And I actually like reported a couple of my harassment and intimidation issues to the sheriff. And the sheriff's advice to me was to just stay out of that area. It's kind of tough because to go to work, I have to go through that area. It's not like where you can just jaunt down, you know, four blocks and go another way. There's only one main route that hits 97, so you have to kind of go through that all the time. There isn't really a way around that. But they don't advise you to go in there by yourself, no.
Okay.
I don't recommend it either. I like to take pictures of the yellow blooming sagebrush every year that lines A12. And this year I did that, and I was harassed for doing that. Some guy gave me a terrible stare as I was taking pictures and drove on down the road farther, and another passing car gave me a finger gun, just pointed it right at me like he was shooting at me. So that, to me, is intimidation as well. And it was scary, even though it was just a finger gun.
Yeah.
It felt very scary to me.
Yeah, there's a message.
Yeah, that's
absolutely. And they have lookouts posted at all the entrances, and they do. They watch. They're a very organized group. That then they're just absolutely taking advantage of the gray areas in our law.
Wow.
Well, if there's no enforcement, I mean, obviously this has been going on and getting worse and worse. There's no consequence to it, so there's no incentive not to. Just continue to do what you're doing and make a lot of money and
well, that's the thing. When it's a code enforcement problem, that's great. Go pay the fine.
Yeah.
Game over. I mean, that's only a problem for, you know, people making less than, you know, a few $100,000 a week. like the rest of us normal people. The other thing too, someone had sent in the chat that some of the delivery drivers have said, yeah, these people, based on the movement of packages and things like that, that they're the same people that are up in the Doris area. So, I mean, they're coming to take over your county, honestly.
They have taken over our county.
Yeah.
It's happened. We need help.
Yeah. All right. Let's take our break a teensy bit early. We'll be on time here, and then we'll come right back. And I'm not sure who's next, but we'll chat about that in the chat and get it planned out. You're listening to We the People, and you can join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
It's all going to pot. Whether we like it or not, the best I can tell, the world's gone to hell and they're all gonna miss it a lot. All the whiskey in Lynchburg, Tennessee just couldn't hit the spot. Got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, it's all going to pot. I got $100 bill, you can keep your pills, friend, cause it's all going to pot.
Yeah, unfortunately that is kind of the theme song for the day. Okay, so what? Where would you like to take us next?
Hi, Aaron. What I am touching on today would be the pretense that these people that are engaged in the illegal pot grows here are poor, that they are lawn paw farmers using their last saved dollar to purchase these properties. They would like you to believe that this is their dream of finally having something of their own and live nestled within our area.
Well,
that started a curiosity with me of just
Hold on just a second, because you're... Your phone is freaking out.
Okay, maybe I need to move.
Ooh, hey, that's terrific. Stay there.
Better.
Okay.
Standing on one foot.
Where did I lose
one
you?
One hand at? Behind your back. Oh, no, we heard it all.
Yeah.
It was just kind of, I don't know how you explain it. It was kind of like you had an airplane, you know, what do you call it, a rotor. Like you had a rotor playing in the phone.
No worries. Well, that started a curiosity for me of just who were buying these properties.
Dang it, the airplane's back.
So after searching on public domain and finding the owners of the parcels that have the illegal growth, I have discovered that most of these people own properties elsewhere as well, including Sacramento, Fresno, Hay Fork, Redding, and in other states, including Texas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, some in Colorado and Oregon. Many own multiple properties ranging from $150,000 to $1 million.
Oh, my gosh. Move around there just a little bit more. Your rotor is back here.
Okay.
If you have it on speaker, if you take it off that would help, too. Sometimes speakerphone makes it freak out.
Yeah, I'm not on speakerphone.
Okay, so much for that idea.
Okay.
Any port in a storm.
There's a constant change in ownership to other family members by way of interfamily transfers, thus moving money around. Sometimes the assessed value of the property and the purchase price varies greatly, most of cash transactions. Properties exchange hands on a regular basis, some as fast as the same day. Another avenue of deceit are the aliases. I was finding they have a husband and a wife who have different last names and will sell to one another, and then siblings or the adult children will come into the picture as an owner. It's a constant interfamily transfer situation. And then to really confuse, they use their aliases, or letters are switched around so a last name with a V changes to a last name with an F.
Oh.
Middle or last names become first names. Some properties are in their aliases as well. One person had 15 aliases. There is also another curtain to hide behind when an LLC they are affiliated with becomes the owner, another opportunity to hide money. All of this information I found is public, so anyone can search to find and verify all this eye-opening information, and also there are a few names that don't even exist. It is a real shocking.
See, and that is, so for people who are maybe at home just processing this for the first time, and you're thinking, well, why don't they just, you know, why doesn't the county go after them, that kind of thing? It's the shell game is really important, because if you can't find the people who own the parcel, the other thing that I know that's happened a lot is, let's say code enforcement sends, you're living on property that has no house and got sewage on the ground, or I don't know, something. They run to the assessor's office and then move that parcel into someone else's name, so now they no longer own it. So
exactly.
There's a lot of shifting ownership, and then finding the people. So,
it was a very eye-opening thing, and I invite anybody that listening that doesn't believe it, go look for yourself. Because it's on the public system.
Sure. So the idea that, people are just poor and they're living there trying to make a living and they're just trying to grow something and da 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 da.
This is
hardcore organized crime.
Cartel level crime. Yeah.
Big time organized crime.
I'd like to add, too, that Mr. Moing Lee, a key person in orchestrating the illegal growth in our area, said in an article in 2017 that the abundant crop is grown for personal use, for poultices and shower rinses, for broth and tea. Mr. Lee is currently housed in Siskiyou County Jail facing charges for conspiracy, tax evasion, and money laundering.
Yeah, so it sounds like he's pretty credible on a pretty credible
right.
voice.
Yeah, to claim that. But the other part of this
that
we haven't brought up that really needs to come to light too is that they're covered with a swath of lawyers out of the Bay Area.
Correct.
So it isn't like, these poor illegal immigrants are all being beset by the people in this county. You guys don't get free legal help from a bunch of attorneys in the city.
No.
But whenever there's a problem, they're getting excellent legal advice. Obviously, they've been able to skirt the law masterfully, except for Mr. Lee there. And my understanding is they got all of his, well, who knows about all, a bunch of his computers and cell phones and things like that. So they got quite a bit of data.
Right.
So hopefully that will.
And they always pay in cash. It's a cash deal. You know, it's not anything that's up front and honest.
No. And ballpark on the water, I'm a little weak. Maybe somebody wants to fire that through the chat if that isn't your thing. But I know that because there were like two or three big ag wells that are running all those water trucks, this is, you know, $100,000 plus per day for water. And that's all cash.
Yeah, where's that coming from?
Well, where's it going? Yeah. You can only deposit $10,000 a day. How are you doing that?
Right. And nobody seems to have a job either. So it's like, okay, where do you get all your money?
That doesn't add up. But, you know, when you start looking at that much cash, your community is not that big. I mean, people go to the store and they see people buying just crazy amounts of stuff with big wads of cash. Whenever you do that, there's going to be even more crime.
Right. Can I jump in now? You sure can. Okay. Just to talk about the cash, most of my stories are anecdotal a little bit, just to support what everybody else has been saying. So I'll start with the cash. And this is a personal encounter that I had with an individual who told a story who was standing behind some individual in one of our major stores here that accepts a lot of cash, paying for a huge order of fertilizer. And he was pulling out his roll of $100 bills. And the checker at the check stand asked if he'd like to be a member of their rewards club. And he said, sure. And we're listening to this. So she needs to see some ID, and he doesn't have any. Doesn't have an ID. No driver's license, no idea. So he says, no, okay, we're not going to be a member. He goes out and has this fertilizer loaded up into the back of his truck, and drives away in a new pickup truck with no driver's license.
Oh,
now,
terrific.
The antithesis to this story is the individual that I spoke with, who's a local contractor in our community, who just had to go visit with CHP and the licensing, California licensing organization that requires him to have his diesel trucks that he uses for his business to be licensed in the state of California for air quality. To the tune from, there was a little question about how much it actually cost him per truck, but somewhere between $5,000 and $8,000 a truck to be legally licensed in the state of California. Now, you know, you want to talk about code violations. Here's a contractor, a local contractor who's trying to work within the confines of California state law to be legal in California. And this person and a lot of these people who pay with rolled up wads of $100 bills and drive these unlicensed water trucks up and down our highways without proper licensing. Talk about a code violation.
Yeah, where's the CHP on that deal?
I don't know. Now, I have another story, and this is what I thought I'd do with my portion of this time, is to just, I do breeding bird surveys for Fish and Wildlife, and I've been a volunteer doing these breeding bird surveys for 20 years, and my route has been the same. And for the last 2 years, I cannot complete my breeding bird surveys. And these are public roads that run up against BLM property, right?
the call points are on the BLM property, but I need to access the call points through the public access through the subdivision. And the subdivision roads have been blocked. And they're blocked by people putting the, you know, the brilliantly colored Buddhist flags that people love to put out that signify peace and love and happiness and good spiritual prayers for your happiness. They are blocking the road. I've talked to my representatives at Fish and Wildlife about my inability to conduct my breeding bird surveys. Breeding bird surveys are a really good tool for identifying species of birds that inhabit certain areas. They may not be endangered. Most of them most likely aren't endangered, but they give a good indication of populations and where birds migrate, right?
Sure.
So my inability to access my call points completely affects, well, Fish and Wildlife, they do about the same thing that all the rest of the federal and state agencies seem to be doing, is they say, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to have to retire your breeding bird survey area, which has been going on since the 70s, and because of this situation. So I can't complete my breeding bird survey. It's done. It's gone.
Wow.
And
so for all the people's lives who are turned upside down by these agencies because they have to get in there and they have to do all these things, and these things are all just mandatory and they're so important. Well, you get thousands of people illegally growing marijuana, and it's a disaster, it's dangerous, and it's out of control, and then, you know what, we're just going to shine all that.
It becomes so unimportant.
Yeah, that's pretty stunning.
So
the other thing, too, we've got to take one more really quick break. We'll come back and let you finish. Somebody had dropped a note in here that CHP, they filed a racial discrimination case against the CHP because all these people were Asian. So obviously they only pulled over the illegal water truck driver guys because they were Asian. That's the only reason they did it. So
they're discriminating.
Right. Yeah, so they were discriminating, so they can't do it. So they can't do that anymore. Or maybe they're trying to find a way around it, but that's how stupid this has all gotten. I mean, at the end of the day, crime used to be crime. I don't know. I'm old. Maybe I sound like a grumpy old man.
Yeah, you're
God bless America. I've turned into a grumpy.
Yeah, you're old.
I've turned into a grumpy old man. I've been hanging out with Bill way too long.
Things I have to deal with.
God, yeah. I'll be Jack Lemmon. You be Walter Matthau.
Cross I have to bear.
Poor Bill.
Yeah.
Oh my God. All right, we'll be right back. You can find us online at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Break me down and build me up. Whatever it takes, 'cause I love.
Yeah, not to put too fine a point on it. Okay, so now continue your tale. Did we silence her forever?
Oh, am I?
Yep, you're back. We're back. Keep going.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I do have another story. This goes to the beginning, and it deals with the water. And it really ties a lot of things together, I think, pretty well. But I have a little place out here, and I grow some hay for my horses, and to the tune of about 3 or 4 acres of grass hay. And I'm watering my hay one day, and my well starts acting pretty funny, and I'm, you know, within a few hours, I don't have any water. And in the meantime, some of the other participants have been discovering that other people have been running out of water as well. And we go and inquire from an individual who's been right down the road from us, pumping like crazy. He's got huge irrigation water lines that are filling up truck after truck. They're lined up, and he's filling these 3,500-gallon water trucks, and they're heading down the road. One of our neighbors goes and appeals to the gentleman and says, you know what, my well just dried up. Do you think that your pumping is quite possibly affecting my ability to irrigate my fields? And this guy says, no, I don't think that's that way at all. And no, I will not stop pumping water. I'm out to make as much money as I can in as little time to do it. And he doesn't care whose well he's affecting. Well, to add on to that story a little bit, my well, I can't irrigate my hay anymore, so I'm stuck buying hay from an individual who is associated with the guy that's pumping all the water. And the quality of hay that I have to buy is so far below my measly little 3 acres of grass hay that I am absolutely livid to know that a person can actually do this. So if you want to talk about water regulations, and this gets back to regulations and groundwater regulation, there is no groundwater regulation in Siskiyou County. This is a free-for-all up here. You can go to the Shasta Valley Water Management Advisory Board and find out exactly where we are in Siskiyou County's ability to manage their groundwater. And, you know, I didn't do this to this county. The people using the most amount of water to water their agricultural crops, did this to this county. And the straw that's breaking the camel's back at this point are the cannabis growers up the road. We have a beautiful relationship with agriculture in this county, but it is being absolutely destroyed. I would say, number one, by the cannabis. Number two, we're in a drought. And thank goodness we're getting the water we need for the next year, because my heart is a little bit at ease. But if we were going to experience what we experienced last summer, these cannabis farmers up the road aren't even going to have enough water to water.
Oh, they'll have to move down to our neck of the woods then and set up shop down here. Because that's what's going to happen,
yeah,
folks. They're gonna move to where they can do this all over again if it's not stopped now.
Well, see, they were always on public land. And on public land, so you had lots of problems. You know, you go into the forest, and then all of a sudden it's like, that's weird. Why is all that PVC piping along this sure. Nowheresville road in the middle of Nowheresville? But that brought all sorts of federal law enforcement, because it's still not legal federally. So now, let's just find a place that has inexpensive property and just go roll them. They don't have enough law enforcement to come after us. And if they were in a neighborhood, you'd have police driving by all the time. But it takes a while to get to you guys. How long does it take to get from Yreka over there? I mean, I've driven it, but I'm usually speeding. In real life, like how long does it take? Half hour
from Yreka east to
and then road. You're how far north of Weed?
20 probably another half hour.
Okay, I was gonna say 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I knew my time was probably incorrect. So yeah. So you're north of the town of Weed, which is tiny, east of
yes.
the town of Yreka, which is like 4,000 people, and
yes.
south of, you know, Doris and McDole and all that, and that's, I mean, all combined, do they even have 1,000 people?
If they're lucky.
I was going to say.
Yreka's population tends to, it's about 7,500.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a job to get to you guys. So all these people driving now on all these two-lane roads, going to buy all these supplies and all this stuff, and they live up there, right? A lot of people?
A lot of them do. A lot of them commute back, like we were saying, is that there are people that have multiple properties. They don't live up here. They come up here to do this thing, and then they do leave people up here. There are some people that live up here, but some of these folks don't have the resources that some of these other folks have who are actually quite well-to-do. You can't imagine how these people dress and some of the cars they're driving. It's phenomenal. Teslas. New cars. You can't imagine.
Yeah.
And then there are some people that don't look like they have just got here. In sandals. I can't even imagine.
And those are the people who have to live up there on the grow sites, in the little tents and whatnot. I mean, honestly, I hope people do go zoom in on the pictures, because when you zoom in, it looks like when you first look at the pictures on the website, when you look at 2018 versus 2020, yeah, it looks like your area developed. It looks like more people moved in. But then when you zoom in on it, you realize it's all the ground has been scraped bare and filled with greenhouses. Or dotted, you know, just perfectly little dots of plants.
Outdoor grows. Yeah.
I had interviewed my sanitation person that comes to pick up my household garbage, and he had told one of the water sellers that he was going to refuse to dump his dumpster because people were coming down with bags of human waste and tossing it into the dumpster. And when the sanitation truck comes by and picks up that dumpster and dumps it, sometimes they tear. And so he was saying it was huge amount of stench that he was running into. And because we tended to interview, my husband and I drove up there on our Labor Day just to take pictures, and we ran into incredible sights. And this is the other problem, is I thought we were taking some really good pictures of what was going on, because I had actual hoses running out of these water trucks dumping water then that was into swimming pools, these big doughboy swimming pools, and you could see the cloth and the plants peeking up over the cloth, and I don't know what kind of person it takes to put together 2 plus 2 to find out that the water is going into the plant. But you know, when I need help, when my local district attorney and when my local law enforcement tells me that there's not enough evidence to prove that the water is actually directly being used, but what are they talking about?
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. And, you know, when you talk about these dumpsters, in our business, if we throw an aerosol can in the dumpster and it ends up in the local transfer station, I mean, we're looking at huge fines. And, I mean, the garbage trucks down here have cameras on them, and, you know, they have your address on the dumpster. So anything that gets dumped out of that dumpster.
We got in trouble for putting pizza boxes in the recycling thing. We got a mean note.
Yeah, I mean, they're overboard. If you're just a Joe Schmo in a neighborhood and you put styrofoam in your garbage can, they're all over you. But these folks can get away with you know, stuff that we couldn't even begin to do, which just blows my mind.
And when it goes back to this individual who's trying to get licensed to do business, and you've got people that complain and moan about the cost of doing anything on your land. Well, if you've got to do this much to license themselves to do it legally,
yeah,
it's not his fault.
No.
And yet,
totally ridiculous. We've got to run away. The news is going to interrupt us, and I guarantee you the news isn't going to talk about what we just did, so I'm glad y'all heard it.
Thank you very much for coming
residents of A12, for exposing the problem up there, and we will talk again, I'm sure. This is We the People. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.